Sometimes the old stuff just come on out. Yes. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 40. And when you get there, say, I have it.
I have it.
Praise God. We thank and praise God for you. We thank and praise God for our visitors. So Steadfast, let's give God a big praise offering for our visitors. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You should be in Isaiah chapter 40. We're about to do our Bible confession, but before we do, I want you to turn to your neighbor and look them in the eye and say, smile. God loves you, and so do I. Praise God. Hold your Bibles up in a comfortable position and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, give God a praise offering. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And you should be in Isaiah chapter 40. We're in the series I'm calling the Wait series. And the name may change by the end, but we'll see. Not today, though. And you should be in Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to read verse 31 together. Isaiah 40, 31 on the count of three. One, two, three. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Give God a praise offering for the word. Praise God. And the Amplified says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. And we talked last week and we defined wait a little differently. We didn't say that wait was just to expect, to look, to patiently tarry, but we defined it as a binding together, even like a twisting. And so I had Isaiah up here helping me to twist. And so when you bind and tie yourself together, it says those who wait on the Lord. So you should be binding, tying, and twisting yourself together with the Lord, not in yourself, but in the Lord. And if you take time to get to know him, to pray to him, to talk to him, to worship, to study the word of God, you are binding and tying yourself together in the way that he intends. So that doesn't mean that you're just sitting there waiting for him to move. That you are doing your part to draw close to him so he can draw close to you. And when that happens, that's when you renew your strength. We define renew as, I don't even know if I read this last week, to slide by, to hasten away, to pass on, to spring up, to change, abolish, alter. And so when we renew our strength, we are changing our strength, and that when we are waiting on the Lord, we should expect us to change, because that is a part of renewal. There's a repairing that happens, a restoring that happens, a change that happens. And then it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so we are going to delve a little bit more on what happens as we wait on the Lord. and also as we renew. So flip over to Psalms 103. We're just going to go two other places today. Psalms 103. Psalms 103, and when you have it, say, I have it. Praise God. Praise God. Psalms 103. Those who wait, who expect, look for, and hope in him, that you are binding yourself together with the Lord. Praise God. We're going to look at the first five verses, and we're going to read them together because they're so good. I don't want you to miss out on being able to say these words this morning. Amen? Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Let's begin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Give God a praise offering for the word. So the focus for us today is on verse 5, but we can't eliminate verse 4. But let's look at verse 5 first. It says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. If you wait on the Lord, if you bind and tie yourself together with him, then you'll find yourself in verse 1 blessing the Lord. And the Amplified says, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord. That's what we should do as a result of the relationship we have with him. And verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And the Amplified, it says, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless his holy name. And then the psalmist tells us why. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits are acts of good or rewards. So there are rewards in waiting on the Lord. There are rewards in binding and tying yourself together with him. And so we're not supposed to forget the benefits. And then David goes on to list 5 of the benefits. The first one, he says, who forgives all your iniquities? Your iniquities are your faults and your sins. God forgives your sins. Bless the Lord, because he does forgive your sins. The second one is that he heals all your diseases. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God does not want us sick. He wants us healed, and he heals all our diseases. The third thing is that he redeems your life from destruction. To redeem means to buy back, to purchase or ransom. So God, through sending his son to die for our sins, has bought back our lives from destruction. So we're not going to be destroyed. That's a benefit of being connected and waiting on the Lord. The fourth is that he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And to crown means to encircle for attack or protection. In this case, for protection. He is protecting us with loving kindness. He's encompassing us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness is favor, good deeds, and mercy. So God is surrounding us in form of protecting us with good deeds and mercies. And tender mercies are like the love you have from the womb. That's what the Strong's Concordance says. It's like a womb-like love. It's like cherishing a child before it's born. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, kind of love. So it's compassion, tender mercies. So God, a benefit of tying and binding yourself together with God is that he surrounds you with his favor, with good deeds, with mercy, and a mother-like love from your conception. That's how deep and profound that he loves you and protects you. The last thing, the fifth thing, is that he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And satisfies here means to have enough, to be full of, to have plenty of. So he gives you enough, makes you full of, and have plenty of your mouth. And really, I started not to look up the word mouth, but something told me to look up the word mouth. And in the Hebrew, mouth means ornaments. Yeah. Like the dangly things, not just that appear on the tree, but things that are designed to make one look beautiful and appear beautiful. It's your swag. It's the stuff that makes you the stuff. He ornaments you. He satisfies your mouth. He dresses you up in good things. And in this process of blessing you in this particular way, your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so to renew here means more specifically to repair or rebuild. So in this process of being loved on by God, he is renewing your youth like the eagles. He's rebuilding you to be strong for his work. And so there are benefits to waiting on the Lord and buying and tying yourself together with him. You can't forget the benefits you get from relationship with him. And I think often we forget that there are some benefits to our package. You know, when you start a job, they always give you orientation. And in orientation, they tell you what all the benefits are. And a lot of times you have to opt in or opt out of all these benefits depending on the job and how good it is. And sometimes you're like, I know the things that got me when I was younger was like short-term disability. So I started working at my current job 18 years ago. And so I was in my young 30s. And so I didn't care about short-term, when I'm gonna be disabled for anything, what is that? And then long-term disability, you want 60 days, you want 30 days, you want 90 days. I was like, what's the cheapest? Because I'm trying not to get deductions out of my check. That's what benefits are when you young and you broke. They're deductions out of the money and you already mad because Social Security and FICA is taking all your stuff, and how did that $100 go away? And I don't want to pay a cent more. But when you are getting older, I have every 5 years or so really pay attention to the benefits. We do it in October. And I'm like, do I need this insurance? Maybe I need to pick up this cancer insurance. Maybe I need to pick up this. Maybe I need to pick up that. Because if I go ahead and pay the cost, then I have access to the benefit. And I start to think, I'm going to need this later. I start to raise my life insurance and say, okay, I have more things now, and it's going to cost more money to cover the things if I happen to go be with the Lord. We don't think about the benefits. This is the wonderful thing with Christ. These are free. All we have to do is invest time in relationship with him to access the benefits, to have him forgive your sins. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what 1 John 1:9 says. And as long as you're not dedicated to living a life in sin, you're not trying to dwell over there, you have an opt out to make you perfect in the sight of God every single time you mess up. We don't have that arrangement with anybody else in the world. I love my sister and my sister loves me, but at a certain point, she gonna say no, and I'm gonna say no. I don't care. Even parents, you love them kids, but at a certain point, they have crossed the threshold. There's no threshold to cross with God. There is nothing that he can't forgive. Not to say that you don't have to suffer consequences for your actions, but he can forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and wipe your slate clean. That is a forever benefit and why he is worthy to be praised. He heals all your diseases, even your sinuses. Even your belly aches, your toe aches, even when you mess up and eat that thing that they told you not to eat because it's not good for you, but you know, you had that ice cream and you know, he heals all your diseases. He redeemed your life. Somebody been eating ice cream. It was hot last month. I told my doctor the other day. She was like, how have you been doing? I was like, well, I done had me a good time this last month. The first 2 months, you know, I go every 3 months. The first 2 months, I was doing pretty good. But this last month right here, I done had some ice cream because it's been hot. And I'm not an ice cream eater, just, you know, 365. It is totally driven by the weather. But it was so hot last month. I tell you, July was hot like August is normally hot. I thank God for this cooler August. Amen. Who redeems your life from destruction? Only God can save you. Only God is the deliverer of you. And he keeps you from destroying yourself. It is a wonderful thing. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He surrounds you with his love. He nurtures you. He keeps you intact. He satisfies your mouth with good things. He ornates you with the things that make you who you are, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So you keep getting stronger and stronger. Amen? Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This renewing thing is a serious thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and when you get there, say, I have it. Y'all are good, because I did not mark my pages today. And they just are sticking. Okay. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the first part we're going to look at is verses 7 through 10. And I am going to read verses 7, 8, and 9, and we're going to read verse 10 together. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God, may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Give God a praise offering for the word. So this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth here, and he's saying, hey, we go through some stuff, but we're not gonna be destroyed by the stuff we go through. And so we're back again to this patient waiting. If we are waiting on the Lord and we are binding and tying ourselves together with Him, when we go through the things that we go through in life, we'll understand that He's always with us. Because we've twisted ourselves together with Him, then we can say it like Paul said it. And he says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so, really, being on earth, being human, is a treasure, is what Paul is saying. And he says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And it's a blessed state for us to be in this human being because it allows God's power to show through us and not us. That is the treasure, that you can live in this earthly body but do extraordinary things by the power of God and not your own power. In the Amplified, it says, however, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown from God and not from ourselves. We're supposed to be showing, once you are saved, if you're saved, say, I'm saved. Once you are saved, you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, your body is supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. And once you offer yourself as a sacrifice, then God can use you to show His excellence through you and not you. So it doesn't go according to what you want and you need, but what God needs for you to do in the earth. And let's say it, He made us and He knows us. He made us to be this creature. So even before the beginning of time, God knew that you were going to accept Him as Lord and Savior. He knew that He called you for a purpose here on the earth. And your purpose on the earth is not my purpose on the earth. And so if we have the ability to allow God to use us, we better be about the business of letting Him use us. And we don't wait on Him. We sit around and idle because we assume that it's His responsibility just to move on our behalf. And we don't embrace our part of the relationship, which involves getting to know Him a lot better. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. The only way you get to know Him is to get to know Him. You got to know about the sacrifice He made for your life. It not only humbles you, it not only makes you bless Him, but it makes you do what He has called you to do. Because you understand that it is Him and not you. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of His pasture. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's supposed to be. Look at verse 8. This is the good part. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. So, got a little example for y'all today. Men, please don't jump up. I got this. I thought about me and my hips. So, hard pressed means tight, constricted. Let me move it back since I'm ringing. And I can arrange these chairs. It means literally narrow. This is narrow for me. It may not be narrow for you because you have smaller hips. But for me, this is narrow. And so we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. And when you look at these chairs apart and you're looking at my hips, you may say, I don't know if she can really get through there, but it's supposed to be fitted. It's supposed to be narrow, but I can make it through. And that's what's happening in life. We may be hard pressed, but we're not crushed. Now, if I move it just a little bit, I can't get through. So God knows what hard pressed and crushing is. And he's not going to arrange life in a way where you can't get through. It's not going to look like a wide path, but it's going to be big enough for you to do what he has called you to do. So when you're looking at your bank account and you get paid, oh, let me bring it all the way home because I was thinking about this today. My car taxes are due in August. I don't even know how much they are. They're hundreds of dollars. But I know that it's going to be difficult for me to pull that out because they're due on the 31st and I have not appropriated my car tax money out my 15th check. And so where is it coming from when the first of the month is coming and all the bills are due? Seems like everything in life is due between the 27th and the 8th. Everybody wants their due. In addition to that, I got to pull $500-$600 out of my account. And I got some insurance payment due in September. That's another $500. It's due September 6th. I just thought about it, Lord Jesus. So that's an $1,100 swing. But God has given me an assignment, and I have created a covenant with him for what I'm going to give for my offerings this year. So I might be hard-pressed. But if I give into the thing, like, this ain't going to fit, I'm just not going to give my offerings for the next 3 weeks. That's not the solution, because I've made a vow to God to pay his. And I got to believe that even though I'm hard pressed, even if I'm a day or two late, even if I got to break that insurance payment up month by month instead of one big lump sum, that he is going to provide for me. And I don't need to have $10,000 in my account on August 31st. I just need him to be him, to be the person and not forget his benefits, who forgives my iniquity, who redeems my life from destruction, who ornates me, who surrounds me with loving kindness. I just need him to keep me as I go through this narrow financial path in this moment. I don't need the money today. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I don't see the money that I need on the 31st today, but I know God is a provider. I know he's a protector and sustainer. So he just gonna have to work it out, because I'm not gonna forfeit what I need to do to take care of the house of God, what I vowed to do to take care of the house of God in order to take care of my needs. If I take care of his needs, he gonna take care of my needs. You know, sometimes on the job, people get on your nerves, and it's tight. It is real narrow, because if one more person, you done got pushed to the edge, say one more thing, you ain't going through. But in him, he gives you the peace that passes all understanding, that guards your heart and your mind. And so I have to learn how to tap into his peace and go on through this particular test, trial, and temptation. I said if they say one more thing, but they can say three more things, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so even though I'm having these turmoils on my job, even though it's narrow, it's tight, but it's right, because I can walk right on through. Amen. Look at the, praise God, give God a praise offering. Look at the next pairing. Thank you, Daniel. So look at the next pairing in verse 8. It says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means to have no way out, to be at a loss mentally. So there's going to be situations in life where you don't know how all this going to work out, because your mind isn't going to be able to figure it out. But his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It's not for you to figure out. It's for you to believe. It says we're perplexed, but not in despair. And the reason you're not in despair, and despair means to be utterly at a loss and despondent. The reason you have a reply to the things that you just can't figure out is because he is God. And you have waited on him. You have tied yourself together with him, and he's renewing your strength. So you can be hard pressed on every side and not crushed. You can be perplexed, but not in despair. How you lose your mama and your daddy 15 days apart? How you move on from that? It's not for me to figure out. It's for God to heal and do. If you see me thriving, it's because he's done a work that I can't understand. It's too great. I cannot attain it. I really can't. I don't know how he woke me up every morning. I don't know how he gave me peace. I don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you got to run on with this ministry. You got to do it. I just know that he did it. That was a wild card I was not expecting. Daddy, yeah. Mama, no. How we gonna run? How you live without your mama? I don't know, but I'm doing it. And I have peace that passes all understanding. I'm grieving, but I'm moving. We're not sitting here. We're perplexed. Why would he do that? But we're not in despair. Look at verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted means that you're pursued and followed after. People coming for you. Why do we expect? I think as believers, we think, if I just stay in my lane and pay my tithe, I'm going to be all right. And nothing in the word says that we're not going to have tests, trials, and temptation. Everything says the opposite. If other people are having them, we're having them too. The difference is who we have on our side. So we can be persecuted, but not forsaken. Forsaken means left behind or deserted. That means as you are going through things, God has never left you. He's not forsaking you. He's there with you, but it's your responsibility to call on him to help you in time of trouble and not try to put on your cape and fix your own problem. And you know, the real journey is not in calling him for the big stuff. Oh, I got cancer. I can't do that. Lord, heal me. You know, we're quick to do that, but that headache, you don't call on him for that. Why don't you just pop that pill? Thank you. If it's Advil, if it's Aleve, if it's Tylenol, if it's aspirin, your BC powder, you might be old school. That other stuff, yeah. We solve our own problems. Why do we solve our own problems? When we know we have the healer, we have access to the healer. The key is to trust him in big and small, not just in the big. Because if you don't trust him with the small, you're not going to have faith for the big. Got to get the little things first. I broke up with a whole person over that. Dude was like, I'll be here for the big things, but I'm not going to be here for the little things. No, you won't. You ain't going to be here for me at all. Because that's not what the word of God says. Got to be faithful with a little to be faithful with much. Amen. You got to trust God to get your lunch. your gas money before you get in to get your house payment. That's thousands upon thousands of dollars. You know, if you haven't really gone to look for a house lately, I have a friend who is looking for a home, and he mad because he gonna have to pay over $1,000 a month for house payments. Because when he bought his last house, they weren't that much. And I understand. You got to believe God. You say you want that new house, but I don't care what it is. Your new house is going to cost real money. You talking at $200,000 now. Ain't nobody building no $100,000 houses. That era is gone. You gonna have $1,500 a month, $2,000, $2,500 a month payments. You've got to believe God. If you can't trust him to fill your gas tank this time, to meet your lunch need, how you gonna trust him to pay your house note? You may be persecuted, but you're not forsaken. And it says struck down, but not destroyed. Cast down means to be thrown down, which means sometimes you're going to be down. Sometimes you're going to hit the ground, but it's not going to kill you. Destroyed means to die, to lose, to perish. You might fall, but you're not going to be utterly cast down because the Lord upholds you with his hand. He takes care of you. And it says in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. In the Amplified, it says, always carrying about in the body the liability and exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered. Which means as we're going through on this earth, we're going to have to put some things to death, just like Jesus had to be put to death, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies. And so how is it that we expect things to resolve or things not to happen to harm us, and then we think we're going to fix the problems? That's not what we're called to do. That's not who we are. Paul is saying, in spite of the fact that these things happen, you're still victorious. In spite of the fact that these things occur, you're an overcomer because of who you're connected to. Just like Jesus died and rose from the dead, some things in your life may take a hit, but can be resurrected. It ain't over until it's over. Every day that you wake up is an opportunity for God to show up in your life. It's a new mercy this morning. Every morning is a new mercy and an opportunity. So if your situation wasn't resolved on your timetable, boy, we have brave thoughts to have a timetable for the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be, my bill is due August 31st. You must resolve this, Lord, by the 31st. What are we doing, giving demands to God? We are brave around here. I wanted to say it a different way, but we doing too much. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He died. He chilled in the grave 3 days. And all we're saying is we might stumble a little bit, but we're not going to be utterly cast down. We're not going to be destroyed. I think about my PhD program at Michigan, and I know I talk about it a lot because I failed. I didn't get my PhD. I took the classes and did the work and didn't pass. And so me and God went to war. And I decided that I guess I thought that the work that I had done was my work. And at a certain point in Michigan, I had to acknowledge that any work that I had done was the grace of God and the benefit of God. It wasn't out of my own strength. I'm not smart. I am blessed by the hand of God, and it's up to Him. I was doing all the right things. I was going to the, I had above a 3 point whatever GPA. I wasn't slacking on anything, but it wasn't coming together because my focus wasn't Him. I wasn't acknowledging Him. That's tough stuff. And then I decided, I don't care. I ain't acknowledging you. I'm gonna do what I wanna do. I'm paying my tithes. And so, no, I wasn't under the curse of finance. They weren't great, but I was making it. But I could have been living an exceedingly abundantly above life, and I'm over here on the struggle bus, taking out loans. And instead, I had to acknowledge Him. And I left without a degree. But I ain't dead yet. So one day, Valerie will earn her doctorate. And when it happens, God will get the glory because I know it's Him and it ain't me. When I think back to when I graduated from Duke, I really thought good well of myself. I was grateful. You know, you say the polite, you say the right thing. Thank you, God. But you don't believe that He did it. I thought I did that. And that was my problem. I thought I did it, even though He created me and made me be the person, even though He kept me out of jail, even though He kept me unpregnant, even though He kept me out of some stuff, even though I walked out without an addiction, and I could have had all that, could have had that STD that didn't go away. The jail thing was realer than y'all realize, because if you live life long enough, you know. You could have gone to jail plenty of times. I cannot even recount. It ain't just once, twice, or three times. I could have been in there a lot for a lot of stupid stuff. But God. And even though in those situations I felt like I still owned it as my own. And now as I look back, as I have developed relationship with Him, then I know it was never me at all. And I don't take credit for nothing because I know better. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to tie ourselves together, and He's not going to move on that big stuff that you've been asking Him to move on until you get yourself together. Until you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God so He can exalt you in due time. Until that happens, it ain't moving. And for those things you've been believing God for, you really have been believing God that He'll do it the way you want it done. Not that He'll do it, but that He'll do it the way you want it done. In my mind, I know that my parents were gonna go be with the Lord before me. But it ain't happened the way, I can't get caught up in the way it happened. Those things are not in my control. That was up to Him and them. That was their will. But as I get to this 50, and we get to the 60 and 70 years that He's blessed, I'm thankful. They got their 70. They were not in good health for whatever reason, so they ain't see 80. Some people don't get to 70. I'm just thanking God for the inhale and exhale that I have today, because I know that if I'm absent from Him, I'm present with the Lord. So if something happened and I don't reach 50, I'm all right. Y'all can cry. I know it's going to hurt y'all, but y'all be all right because I am more than fine. I'm safe. I know it's better on the other side. Everything we know has told us that. Amen? Amen? Look down at verse 16. I'm going to read 16 and 17. I want you to read verse 18 with me. Amen? Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Begin. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Give God a praise offering. Praise the Lord. Paul is wrapping things up. He says good things in verses 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. You read that on your own time. But he wraps it up by saying, this is why we don't lose heart. We don't give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, we've been dying for a long time. Basically, since the moment we were born, even though we've grown, we all know we on this way out of here. Our body is built to do that. That's why it's precious for us to have God in our earthen vessels, because really, how can it contain the glory of God? And yet the glory of God resides in each and every one of us. It's a gift from God. And so even though this body is dying, he says that we're being renewed, our inward man, our spirit man is being renewed day by day. So even as this outward flesh is dying, we are changing to be more like Christ every day. If we choose to wait on the Lord, if we choose to buy and tie ourselves with him, that's what's happening. For our light afflictions, the things that we go through, are but for a moment. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If your coworkers can't stand you because you always talking about the love of Jesus Christ, that's a momentary affliction. But the weight of glory that's being worked out is that you are planting and watering, and God is giving the increase. And he's telling you what to plan and how to water, but he gives the increase. So somebody on your job is listening to you carry on and watch your light shine. And so even though you may not get invited to the cool lunch or the cool dinner, or you may not go into the Christmas party, or nobody slips you a shot, because you're too holy for all that, that's momentary affliction. But what you're working on is far more important than that. And it says in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen. This is why you can't look too heavily at this stuff in this life, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. And if all your focus is on getting, obtaining, and maintaining the temporary stuff, you've missed the point. You gotta want to have people save as much as you want your new car. You gotta want to have really more than. You gotta want salvation for those who are lost more than you want the house and the estate. Because what is the point of giving you the stuff if you're not gonna give God the glory? What is the point of elevating you if you're not gonna acknowledge him and let him direct your paths? That don't benefit God, and God ain't dumb. And he ain't gonna move on no mess. You can't be mad because God has standards. We let folks get away with anything. Some Negro come to step to you, cheat on you, and then you let them back. No standards. God said, if you don't come near me, I ain't coming near you. You got to come to me first. That's what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You got to come and open the door and let him come in. Then he'll sup with you and you with him. Revelations 3:20. You got to let God in all the spaces. You got to want to be a part of him as much as you want him to be a part of you. You got to do what he say. And stop acting like this life is about you. It was never about you. You are nowhere in these books. You are, but you aren't. Not name by name. Your story wasn't important then. But what you do with this now is important. And you have to understand that the things that you see are temporary. Why would you take away from the work that Steadfast has to do to make sure that your kids have Jordans, and they never needed Jordans to begin with? You ain't have Jordans. Jordans weren't even Jordans when I was in school. When your kids have kids, they won't even be wearing Jordans anymore. But you would sacrifice what could be a planting and watering opportunity for something material so your kids can fit in better. They're not supposed to fit in. They're supposed to stand out. Amen. And it doesn't mean your children can't have nice things, but your priorities need to be in check. Doesn't mean you can't have nice things. In fact, the more that you're about the business of God, the more he gets about your business, and he crowns you with love. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your strength is renewed like the eagles. It's about priority, and we have to learn how to wait properly on the Lord and be of good courage. Amen? Give God a praise offering for the word. Hallelujah.